for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December the 29th, 1990. Holiday week teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Irma Miller is the teacher of the afternoon.
Well, Irma's going to come and be our teacher this afternoon, and I'm glad she finally got back over here, across the river. She's been across Jordan. Amen. Irma, come on and I'll fix you.
Well, praise the Lord. I have two Bibles and a notebook. I don't know what all we're going to do this afternoon. I hope I don't do anything. I hope it's the Holy Ghost, don't you? Don't you think we need to hear from the Holy Ghost? Every single time that anybody stands up here, it should be the Holy Spirit speaking through us. And Donnie was all over my subject while she was talking. Brother Boland was this morning. And I have had a nice week at home alone. You know, sometimes it's good to get away from Motor Mouth and my own Motor Mouth and just sit in quietness. You know, we come over here every morning about 7:30 every single day, 6 days a week, and stay till 5:30, 6:30 or whatever. And I thank the Lord for the strength He gives us at our age, because I see some people that's in their 50s that act like they are 90 years old. And I praise the Lord for His strength, because I know full well that it's the strength of the Lord that strengthens Glenn and I. Because I'll tell you a little secret, we're going to be married 50 years in June. And Glenn is going to be 70 years old in March, and I'm following right along. He's pretty older, much older than me. Well, when you come out of your 60s into your 70s, I don't know what that will be like. We haven't passed this way before. We haven't passed this way in the Spirit before. We don't know what's ahead. But I know that I really enjoyed my time at home. Even though I was sick, I had plenty of time to read the Word in quietness. And the Lord ministered to me, and I read a couple books while I was home. I like to read books that you can just sit down and read them through, and you don't have to think too hard, and they feed you. And one of them was that Benny Hinn's book on Good Morning, Holy Spirit. It's back there. And Dottie was talking about the Holy Spirit being here on earth. You know, we pray to the Father and we pray to the Son, but we don't pray to the Holy Spirit. But He brings out a lot of good thoughts in that book, and I got a lot of pointers. I always want to be filled with the Spirit, but not all the time are we always filled with the Spirit. And the more you minister out, if you don't get a refilling, then you're just sort of empty and blah. And the telephone takes a lot of the Spirit of the Lord out of us, because we get calls night and day for prayer. And they're all always what I call SOS calls. Somebody is about to commit suicide, or somebody's children's on dope, and, you know, all these hard cases. But Jesus is the deliverer, and just hang on and hang on and hang on and keep believing the Lord. And how many came here to be changed this afternoon? Well, I did too. I come here to be changed. The Word of God changes us. The Spirit of the Lord changes us. The fire of the Lord purges us. The Holy Spirit ministers to us. And I want to turn this afternoon to Ephesians 6 chapter. I have the Amplified and I have the regular King James that I usually read out of, but I thought the Amplified was so good in this. I don't even have where I'm going to talk in my regular Bible. Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor of God, 11th verse. Well, first I want to start at the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. How many feel you're strong in the Lord today? Somewhat. I think we're all somewhat strong in the Lord. Are you as strong as you want to be? No. So we need to be, we need to search this out, how to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, I have to stand here in the strength of the Lord this afternoon because that flu bug that got me the second time, I was healed a week ago Friday, and then I exposed myself and didn't take care of myself, and I came down with it a second time. But we have to stand in the strength of the Lord every day, not just when we're sick, you know that? And when we go to fighting demons, we are basically weak and cowards in our own flesh, aren't we? You can't face the demon and get too much done with him in your own strength or in your own flesh. Now, you might have the theory. You might scream in the name of Jesus 50 times, but it's the anointing that's going to destroy the yoke off of us, isn't it? It's going to not only break the yoke, it's going to destroy the yoke. And that's what we're after, to destroy the works of the enemy. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, it says in the 11th verse, well, I want to go back to this, and in the power of His might. Now, one of the seven spirits of God is the spirit of might, isn't it? How many have studied the seven spirits of God? Let's go back right now. I just feel to go back to Isaiah 11 and read you what the seven spirits of God are. It's all enclosed in the Lord and in the Holy Ghost, but they all have their own little works to do it within us. And it's 11th chapter in the second verse. And the Spirit of the Lord, that's one, shall rest upon him. This is talking about the rod of Jesse, the stem of Jesse, the branch. And the Spirit of wisdom is number two. Spirit of understanding is number three. The Spirit of counsel. And you know, the Lord calls certain people just to counsel. Just to counsel people. And then if the Spirit of the Lord is working through the counselor, then you better listen to the counselor and not say, well, I don't believe that. You might get into trouble with the Lord. And the Spirit of might. Now, this is the one I like to tune into. For a long time ago, about 10 years ago, I heard a sermon on this, and I read some articles by Noreen Nichols on the Spirit of the Lord and the seven spirits of God. And I began to tune in. How many know how to tune in to the Spirit? See what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. I begin to tune in and ask the Holy Spirit to and the Lord to give me the Spirit of might. And that's strength. I used to do that when I was at the Full Gospel Conventions working behind the book table, because the book table required 7 o'clock in the morning until midnight or until they turned out the lights, which was sometimes 12:30 or 1 o'clock. And I really very rarely ever left the book table. There was too much stuff there in the daytime and it had to be watched. So the Spirit of might, how many would like to receive it right now? All right, let's be receivers now. Not just spectators, let's be receivers. Lord, I ask you to give me the Spirit of might. Let the Spirit of might flow into me now. By your Holy Spirit. Lord, I receive the Spirit of might. I receive your strength, Lord. I receive the fear of the Lord. I receive wisdom from you, Lord. I receive understanding from you. I receive counsel. I receive the word of knowledge. I receive all knowledge. Lord, you can give us all knowledge. And I receive the fear of the Lord. Now, one of the things, the fear of the Lord is many things. Beginning of wisdom is one, but one of them is to hate evil. I like to tune in on that. Don't you just hate evil? I get so angry with the enemy, how he deceives people, how he lures them away, how he talks to them and they listen to him, and all of us. We're not exempt from his power of talking to us. But when he comes, if we can just learn to turn it at the gate and say, get out in the name of Jesus, get off of me right now. And you will find out all the deliverances that you have had this week. The enemy goes out and walks in dry places. And then he gets 7 more wicked than himself, and he comes back and he tries to re-enter you. Well, if you don't have the Spirit of the Lord in that vacancy where that was washed with the blood and cleaned out, then he's going to be able to come back in you. And you don't want 8 spirits. You got rid of one, and you're going to get 8 back when they come back into you. So we got to watch that, and we need the Holy Spirit. We need the blood of Jesus, first of all. The only reason that people have evil spirits, all of us, or any of us, is because of sin. And he can light where there is sin. He cannot touch the part of you that's saved, that's already saved. You know, we're working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So we are being saved every day. Somebody talked on that, I think, the other day. We are being saved, but we aren't truly saved. And the word salvation means deliverance. Now, so many people do not like deliverance, but that doesn't make it not true. Some people say there is no devil or there's no hell. That's not true. We all know that's not true. We know there really is. And if you don't know there's a devil, you're in a bad shape, spiritually and physically, I would think. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not you and me wrestling with each other, but it's against principalities. Now, I looked up this word principalities. I've been dwelling on this verse all week, looking up different books about it, dictionaries and things. A principality is a territory ruled by a prince or a king. So we are fighting these kings or principalities. We might not know we are, but they are sitting up in the high echelons of the air, and they are giving their subjects under them. You know, every king has subjects, don't they? So all these little imps and all these little spirits are given direction as to how to attack us. And the enemy studies us. He watches us. He knows where our weakness is. Now, where I am weak, you probably wouldn't be weak at all. And where you're weak, it probably wouldn't ever bother me. So that's why the body of Christ needs each other, because the Bible says every joint supplies, doesn't it? And these powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world against spiritual wickedness in high places, and we see it, it's right in our own government. The wickedness in our own government is so corrupt, and in the money system is so corrupt, and in government of church denominations, many of them, it's corrupt. The head people are corrupt, and they mishandle money. They mishandle, their morality is bad. But we can't look at things like that except to pray and to come against these principalities and these powers that are in these high places. How many pray every day for our government? Now, my prayer lately has been, I have been coming against the warmongers in our government. They really want a war, you know. They want a war because they want to keep good times. They want to keep the economy going. And the Secretary of State says the only way to keep the economy going is to have a war so we can have jobs. Now, if that were their sons, I was watching somebody early this morning on the news, or not on the news, but on the radio, and I heard this boy, he had written a letter to his mother about how awful the sand was over there and how he wishes he was home. But you see, the people who want the war are not people that are going to send their children out to fight it. They're going to send minorities and people that they think that are stupid and should be dead anyway, and just common people, uneducated people. They want to send them off to war. And I'm coming every day. I come against the spirit of warmongers. How many would like to join right now? Shall we pray? Have you paid for the government today, Glenn? Well, I know, and Dr. Noel probably has prayed this morning. Let's come against the spirit of warmongers right now, shall we? And have a real battle right now. This is a workshop. We're not in church right now. We're in a workshop. All right, you want to stand up? Gene's standing up. You can't fight sitting down. Now, we haven't put on our armor yet, but we should have it on. By this time of day, we should all have our armor on. Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, and we bring the sins of this nation up before you, Lord, and all the debauchery and all the crookedness. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive the sins of this nation. We come against the powers of the enemy that would be in control in Washington, D.C., and in the state departments, and in the various states and the cities and the schools. We bind the power of the enemy. We bind these principalities and powers. We bind warmongers in the name of Jesus. We render you helpless and pull you out of the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. We pull you down. We pull you down. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting you, our enemy, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we pull down the warmongers. the strong men over our country, over this nation, and all of the debauchery and sin and greed and crookedness and thievery in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, we bind your power. We will not put up with you. You must come down off your thrones in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we bind you. We command you to come down in Jesus' name. Come down off of Washington, D.C. Come down off of Hot Springs. Come down off of the states in the name of Jesus. Ricia Mandoria, Bosia Mandoria, Kundala Basandala Mandoria. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Well, I think that went up to the high heavens, don't you? And up into the air. You may be seated. That should be done every day in our homes or in our meetings. First of all, pray for those in authority over us. You know, we've neglected that so many years, and we're told, since I was a child and we were Christians, they always said, stay out of politics and don't mess with that. And we have allowed our country to go down far, so far away from where this country was founded, to worship the Lord as we please, to have freedom. We have a measure of freedom yet, but we don't know how long we're going to have this freedom, so we need to keep binding and keep coming against it, because if we just go namby-pamby on, we're gonna find ourselves in terrible problems. And when the great tribulation really hits, we'll be not knowing what to do. But the Lord is able to keep us in Goshen, isn't he? He kept the children of Israel in Goshen, and he's able to keep care of us. All right, we've heard about what's in the heavenlies, these rulers, these mighty wicked spirits in high places. Wherefore, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. How many thinks that we're coming into the evil days right now? We're here. I think we're here. I think the evil day is here. And having done all to stand, and I'm telling you, it takes a lot of Jesus to keep us standing, a lot of repentance to keep us standing, A lot of reading the Word and studying the Word and knowing the Word to keep us standing fast. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Now, if you want to be delivered, honesty better come into your act right away, quick. Telling the truth. You know, some people, you'll ask them, well, have you ever gone to a fortune teller? Well, no. Well, yeah, once. You know, they just wishy-washy around. Get honest before the Lord. Get honest before the Lord. We have to have this truth, girded about with truth, our loins. That's like a tight girdle around our loins. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I think I want to read to you just a little bit in the Amplified from the 11th verse down. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier. Now, if we're not going to fight and get in warfare, what in the world do we need an armor anyway? Why carry around this heavy armor if we don't believe there's a devil, or if we don't believe that we're in warfare? The armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil, the wiles of the devil. Now, the wiles of the devil are all his methods. Have you ever been deceived by the devil and 3 days later you find out what he was really doing to you after you've already succumbed to him? Sure, we all have, but we need to learn by our defeats and not let it happen again. His methods, his strategies, his plans, his tricks. And I have here akin to divination. That comes right out of the regular dictionary. Wiles means akin to divination. And you know what divination is, don't you? How many know what divination is? It's the occult, mainly the occult. All of his sly tricks, his crafty maneuvers. You know, he'll make setups. I tell you, I've seen him make some setups and like spirits in one person over here and a spirit over here, and pretty soon they're allying together. And he makes these setups. We've got to be aware of these setups, these maneuvers that he's deceiving, deception, enslaving, and all the time it's to ruin your soul. Your soul is your mind, your personality, and your emotions. And that's what he's after. He's after our minds. Because, you know, the Word of God says, we have the mind of Christ. That's good to quote that scripture. Let your ears hear it. We have the mind of Christ. Well, the mind of Christ is right here in the Word. Some people call me up and say, I need a word from the Lord. I said, well, open the Bible and begin to read it. You'll get a word from the Lord. We're not fortune tellers, you know. And, you know, that so many people, they just live from one service to the other to get a word from the Lord. Well, a prophecy from the Lord is wonderful, but don't live from one day to the next trying to get a word, because if you'll open your Bible, you'll get a word. And if you want a word from Jesus, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you think that was profound?
That was the most profound thing I've heard
here. Well, we do have to watch that, because a lot of people just try to live on prophecies and things that... And some people get these prophecies that are off of the wall. I mean, they're totally off the wall. And if you're sitting in the audience, you realize they are, and then somebody will be saying, amen, 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 and you wonder, oh, dear God, is there no discernment anywhere in the body of Christ that they think that that's the word of the Lord? Well, I'm off of my soapbox now. Let's get back here to the word of the Lord in the Amplified. Put on this armor so that you'll be successful to stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, and this says principalities, which are always ruled by a king or a prince, and against the master spirits, who are the world rulers of this present darkness. You know, there are people right here in this town, and I was even invited to one of their meetings, and they delved back into the old masters. And when I walked in, it was just a tiny bit late. Kevin and I went. Glenn was in Kansas City at that discipleship meeting years ago when we first moved here, and he had the car, so Kevin and I went in the truck. I was driving, and we got over there, and we walked in and into this service in the home. This man was sitting backwards on a chair, and I thought he was praying at first. Then I didn't know what he was doing. But he was into all this, the old masters, and was quoting from them, and half praying, half prophesying, and half you didn't know what. And it would begin to hurt your head. Whenever you hear something like this and you feel something down inside of you saying, this is not quite right, that's the Holy Spirit trying, that's that still small voice of the Lord that you better listen to. And by the time we got out of there, I didn't know what was going on. They were talking about going out of their bodies, and we got out, and I was looking this way and that way, feeling like the devil was going to grab us any minute. And Kevin said, what's the matter with you? Are you afraid? I said, well, I just feel something horrible on my head. And he said, well, so do I. So we prayed all the way home so we could get that off of us. And these are considered to be old-timers. And they've gone off into this, partly into ultimate reconciliation, too, that there's no hell or no devil, and everybody's saved. You don't have to read your Bible anymore, all that kind of weird stuff. And it so attacks your mind. And see, that's what the enemy's after, to ruin your soul, to get your soul. If he can get your mind, he's got you. Is that right, Dr. Noel? He's sitting there with a little smile on his face. I don't know if he's agreeing or not agreeing. He's shaking his head. Boy, did we ever. But we were invited. It was when we first moved here, and we didn't know those people. And, some of them still come here to our meetings sometimes. But you can always feel that strange spirit about them. Yet they're holy, you know, and considered good people, business people in town and everything. But it's a weird type of thing, so subtle and so deceiving that, and cunning. Yes? Mm-hmm.
The New Ages call it channeling.
Yeah, they do.
They will associate with open crystals, and it's just a type. It's a spiritual counterfeit, and actually, it's a seance. It's what we used to call a seance.
Yeah, they say good things. They don't say bad things. You know, Satan never comes and says, "I'm the devil now. I've got horns, and I'm going to get you." Never, never, never. He comes so underhanded and so subtle. And I had never, boy, we've learned a lot since we come here, and we only know half what we ought to know. But I didn't know we was in a seance. I didn't know what we were. I just knew it was hurting my head, and Kevin knew it was hurting his head. And we came out of there, and we prayed all the way home. And I was feeling like someone was going to get me any moment. And he was kind of laughing. He said, "What's the matter?" And I said, "Well, that was a weird meeting. I don't want to ever go back to their meetings again." And they also embraced the false doctrine of I am God. How many have ever been involved with any of that? That's a very disastrous. Have you been involved with that? I am God. We are not God. We're far from God. we may be getting, you know, they seem to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus. And I always say, well, if you want to be like Jesus, are you ready to meet Legion? If you're not ready to meet Legion, you're not really like Jesus yet, because Jesus fought the devil all the time, didn't he? Every page of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he is fighting the enemy. Let's get back on here. Against the master spirits, that's where I went off, the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. See, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. It's by the spirit of the Lord Jesus. It's by the Holy Spirit. And we need to sing every day, "Come Holy Spirit and fill me. Fill me now." All of those songs about the Holy Spirit. Because that's important that we be filled with the Spirit. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. Now, Paul was writing this to the Ephesians, and he was telling them there's going to be an evil day coming, and there was probably an evil day in those days, too. I don't know if it's as bad as it is today, but there's an evil day of danger, and having done all, the crisis demands to stand firmly in your place. Stand, therefore, and hold your ground. Don't give the enemy one inch. Don't listen to that kind of trash. Don't go back to places like that. It will only get you into trouble. Because one little good word that they may have for you, the enemy has all kinds of deceiving little things that you might catch on a year from now after you have been seduced by those enemies. And then you wonder why you're sick and wonder why you are having so many problems in life. Tighten the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. You know, morality, our morals have to be cleansed. And I was talking to somebody today, and we don't know how bad, how dirty our blood really is. If we are bearing the curse of the bastard for 400 years, which is 10 generations, or if we are bearing the curse of incest for 400 years, which the Bible says we are, that's a curse, then we are bound to have those incest spirits in our bloodline, or the curse of or this bastard spirit, illegitimate children, from years back. What do you know about what your great-great-great-grandfather and mother did, what they were involved with? Now, we know that fortune tellers and Ouija boards and all that kind of stuff is the third and the fourth generation. That's 160 years back. Well, we don't even know how bad off we are from 160 years of our ancestors, what we're carrying on us. That's why we're having to fight through and get these curses broken off of us, because we don't know, but we need to repent, and we need to seek the Lord and have the Lord show us, or people that's with discerning of spirits. Now, most of you have heard, and some of you have not heard, my testimony of how when Derek Prince came to visit us, he told me I was under the power of a fortune teller. He told Glenn he's under the power of a fortune teller. Well, neither one of us had been to a fortune teller. I didn't get mad. You know what I said? I don't want to be under the power of a fortune teller. Do any of you want to be under the power of a fortune teller that your great-great-great-grandmother went to, and God said, "I'll put the curse on you if you do that"? See, we were ignorant. We didn't know. We didn't know. I didn't know that my mother had been to one. I didn't know my grandmother had been to one. I didn't know my great-grandparents, who came from Germany, was reading palms and tea leaves when they came over from Germany. But you see, my ignorance, what does the Bible say about ignorance? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. In my ignorance, I was carrying around this curse on me coming from this witch or this fortune teller, and Brother Prince picked it up on me. Well, when he prayed for me, it was like it lifted right off of me like a tent. We prayed for Glenn, it's like a tent lifted off. So if you've been to a fortune teller, or if your mother has been to one, or your grandmother, or your great-grandmother, then you're under a curse coming from your forefathers. And you might say, well, I'm a Christian. Maybe you are, but you're still, God said, I'll put a curse on you for the third to the third and the fourth generation. So that's just what God said, and that is just what God means. It brings on suicide, and it brings on divorce. That is the main cause of divorce, the spirit of divination. And it's the main cause of suicide. It's the main cause of drug addiction. It's the main cause of drinking and smoking, even food addiction. All of that is coming from the occult. How many knew that? Yeah, it's coming from, maybe you've never drank, but we were talking, I think, with Brother Boland the other night about people sometimes have been up so high in the spirit and have been such wonderful Christians, and when they get down to death's door, why, all of a sudden they start drinking. See, that root has never been pulled out. How many want all these roots to be pulled out of us? Yes. We have to just face this as reality and as best we can. It's hard on your flesh. Sure, it's hard on your flesh. But it's so good when after you get delivered. I was telling somebody today, it's just like after you've had a baby. It was so terrible while it was all going on. But after it's all over, you feel so wonderful and so relieved. And deliverance is the same way. The evil spirits come in mocking God, mocking the Holy Spirit. They come in as wind, or they come in as air, and you breathe them in, or else they're born in you in your bloodline, or else you've got curses put on you by God. Now, I don't think that it's wrong for any of you to come and say, I'd like to be delivered from incest, even if you've never been involved in it yourself, because that carries a 10-generation curse, and somewhere back in your line, in your bloodline. Would that embarrass you to be prayed for about incest or the curse of the bastard? It shouldn't. It shouldn't. It should be joy to your ears to think that you could be free from all the sexual immoralities that come along with incest. And all the powers of divorce that comes along. There's nothing more hideous than divorce for children. The children are the ones that really suffer, but I think everybody suffers. I think the sinners suffer when they're getting a divorce. You know, you'll hear how they suffer. You see, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder, and that's absolutely against the word of the Lord. I don't care how bad your mate is. It's not, if you can possibly live with him, but even if you can't live with them, you oughtn't be getting a divorce, because you oughtn't be planning on getting married again anyway if you've got a living person, living mate. Are you with me? I know this is kind of tough and hard, but I have known people. In fact, they've called me, and they said, we left our husband last week, and I said, well, what happened? Well, he did this and he did that. I said, well, can't you reconcile with him? No way. I'm just going to get a divorce and find somebody else. See, that's absolutely against the Word of God. For Christians. I mean, these are Christians that are talking to us. It's not rank sinners. You don't expect them to know all this, but you expect for pastors to tell you from the pulpit the truth of what the Bible says. What the Bible says. All right, stand therefore holding your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God. And having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability. Now, I don't ever like to face the enemy. Confidentially, I don't. You may think that we're just great warriors down here. But I don't really, in my own self, I don't like to face him. But once we get to praying and the Holy Spirit comes down on me, I'm not afraid of him anymore. I just want to get him out of the people and... Firm-footed stability and promptness, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news. You know, the Lord expects us to be prompt. He expects you to be prompt in your work when you come to work on time. He expects you to be there on time. Church. Same way with church, Glenn says. He's gonna preach all the bad things that I don't want to say.
Drag in when service is started, that's an abomination.
It really is. Bob Mumford preached just a hot sermon on that once. He said the people that drag in late means their body... They're giving you body language. They don't really want to be there. They don't really want to be there. But they drag in. Come in late. They don't care. Doesn't embarrass them at all. to come in late. They don't want to really be there, and so, or else they want to be seen, a man, and come in late. We used to have somebody lived here on the campground that bugged me day and night. She would even come late to a wedding. And she didn't creep in and sit down on the back seat. She pranced clear up to the front, even if the bride was walking down the aisle. And I'll tell you another thing that I'm going to get on to you about. It's when Bob plays the organ, and you get up and run and get a drink of water, right when the offering's being taken up or something. That's rude. That's not being respectful. Or when somebody is singing under the anointing, and you get up and move around unnecessarily, that changes maybe the whole row of people. We used to have somebody that would sit and flip their Bible all the time while he was trying to speak and make a lot of noise, had a creepy Bible, always flipping it. One time we had a man call up, a pastor called him. He said, "I need help." "You say you help, you help in the bruise." He said, "I'm bruised." He said, "I have an assistant pastor that's a faith, in the deep faith message, and I hired him because he wasn't right out of Bible school. And he gets behind me, and if I don't talk on faith every single time, why, he sits and flips his Bible and makes a big lot of noise and stirs around, drops a songbook or two during my sermon." And he said, "I need prayer. I can't get the victory over that." And I can see where that's very rude and not really standing with whoever's speaking. You should be just, any time Brother Boland preached, you should have all ears and all eyes open and listening to the Word of God. What is the Spirit saying to the church today? Now, you don't have to listen to me if you don't want to, but it just shows respect. You know, there's been people that have been ready to come to the altar to get saved, and somebody has distracted them. And even when you listen to the tapes, you hear things on those tapes that you never heard while the man was giving it out. You know that? Because something has distracted you. "Lift up over all the covering the shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the fiery missiles of the wicked one." Have you ever realized that these darts are like fiery missiles coming at you? I realized that one time. I remember we went running up to the hospital. Somebody was about to die or something. And Glenn can run twice as fast as me and walk twice as fast as me. And I was all out of breath, and we ran into that hall. When we got in that hall, something just like a red-hot dart struck me right in the heart. And I thought I was going to just pass right out on the floor with a heart attack. And I said to him, "Pray for me. Pray for me. Something just struck me in the heart." That was a missile. Whenever you go in a hospital, you ought to be prayed up when you go in there. There's so many death spirits in there and all kinds of bad spirits. rosaries in those some kinds of hospitals. And you need to be really prayed up so these fiery missiles won't attack you. "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, wielding," which is the Word of God. You cannot deliver people until you know the Word of God. You have to have certain scriptures that you need to stand on. What are some of them? Give me some of them. This is the class now. We're not in church. You can talk out loud. What is a scripture that you can use against the enemy? "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered." That's a good one. And in Jude it says, "It is written, Satan, the Lord rebukes you. Let the Lord rebuke Satan." That's another one. "Or he gives me power over all the powers of the enemy." That's Jesus gives me and gives you. You start repeating that for a little while and you'll start believing you got some power.
In my name.
In the name of Jesus. In my name you will cast out devils and raise the dead and so on. So we need to know how to wield the Word of God. "Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit." How many pray in the Holy Spirit every day in tongues? My, not very many. That's pretty important that you pray in the Spirit every day. "With all manner of prayer and entreaty, to that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints," God's consecrated people. I enjoy having every one of you pray for Glenn and I. And I mean, after you go home, every time you think about this place, and the Holy Spirit may flash somebody that you met here, and all of a sudden that's your cue to begin to pray for that person. That's intercessory prayer. When you obey the Holy Spirit, He'll give you more and more people to pray for. And I may be sitting at my desk and I can feel your prayers. All of a sudden it's just like a whole tent of the Lord. The presence of the Lord will come down upon me and I'll realize that somebody is praying for me. And I sit there just in the presence of the Lord. How many just like to sit in the presence of the Lord and not run our mouths? Just, you know, I'm trying to get over motor mouthing. I think all of us need a little help in the mouth business. The tongue, she brought that up this afternoon. Don't you agree with me? How many's with me? I can't tell if you're. I know some of these people are really with me. We got to keep awake here. I know you all have been in meetings all week. I've been at home, but I haven't gone to bed. I never even took a nap. Can you believe that? And that was good. In his strength we go forth as mighty soldiers. You know, Satan's afraid of you. He's scared of you. When you start coming against him and quoting about the blood of Jesus, he wants to run. He is embarrassed and he hates that. And he will leave. And I was reading the Bible yesterday about Saul. When Saul had this troublesome spirit come to him, you know, and he'd get all acting bad and mean. They called for the harpist to come and the sweet singer of Israel. And when David would play his harp, what happened? The evil spirits left, didn't they? So music, I mean good anointed music. I think we have good anointed music here. I cannot stand Christian rock music, and I don't think it's good for your ears or your heart. Be rock music, listening to the worldly rock music's in a bad shape mentally. And their whole nervous system is all messed up. And that you need to get deliverance from if you've been in rock music. And recently we had a couple of ministers come here from one of the islands, some of the islands in the off of South America, the island of Curacao. South Caribbean. And the Caribbean island. No, was it down that far? And they were preachers. And this one preacher had gotten himself into some trouble, bad trouble, so bad that he had to go to jail for a few days. And this other preacher was so caring about this man's church and about this man's spirituality that he went down and talked to the authorities and said, let me take this man out of jail and take him up to the United States. I want to take him to a place that's going to rehabilitate him so he can come back and pastor his church. And so they called, and they wanted to come on Wednesday after Thanksgiving camp meeting. Well, I wasn't for that because we were all worn out, and on Monday we had caught up with the mail, and we started to write the magazine Monday afternoon, and so I tried to talk him out of it. No, he said, I've got to come this week. I've got to get him out of jail. So I finally said, all right. We will be busy, though. And they knew one other person here in town, which was really good because the other person could have time to take them out to eat and so on. And so we wrote the magazine, and we got it all in the print shop on Wednesday. And we talked to them some on Thursday, but I believe on Friday night is when we decided to, and Scott was here, and he helped us pray, Scott and Glenn and I. We were right up here in this little amen corner. And we began to pray, and the preacher that had brought him up here was very, I thought, very lovely and a very spiritual man. And he had been introduced to deliverance about 3 years ago and was trying to enter into it and had entered into it somewhat, but not to such a big extent in his church. But he was trying and he wanted to learn. So we began to pray for this minister, this other minister that had gotten himself in trouble. And we began to pray about generational curses. I can't remember what all we prayed about. I think we went through the spirit of unforgiveness, which should be cast out of you immediately before anything else goes. Because if you don't forgive others, God's not going to forgive you. That's the words of Jesus. Do you know that? If you don't forgive, you're in trouble with Jesus. And there's no use to pray. So we always usually try to work with unforgiveness first, and then usually fears. And then we get down to the nitty-gritty that nobody wants to really hear about the sexual spirits and divorce spirits and suicidal spirits and rebellious spirits and so on and so forth. So we were praying, and when we got to these generational curses, by this one man and these sexual problems, why, he was really getting delivered. And then the other pastor said, I need that too. And he began to get delivered, and it was a wonderful time. Well, they called me this week, and I usually got on the phone every time the phone rang. And
the amazing thing is that cost them money to come from way down.
Oh, yes, yes, on a plane.
It wasn't cheap.
And they rented a car and drove up from New Orleans, and they were, I tell you, if you really want to be delivered, you'll be hungry and you'll do almost anything. Look at all you people that flew in here and drove in here and came in on ice and came in on all kinds of hazardous roads, which meant that you wanted to be here. You know, sometimes they bring people here and they don't really want to be delivered. Somebody else wants them to be delivered, but that's not going to do too good. But you have to want it yourself. And if you really want to be delivered yourself, the Lord's going to meet you and he's going to deliver you. So when we begin to come against generational curses, and I don't ever keep track, although I did have, I always have a pencil and paper usually if we're praying for somebody, you know, sort of private, and I go down, and I don't have any form or anything, but I just ask them different things, as the Holy Spirit are going to ask them things, and I write down, because when we get ready to pray, then I want to remember what all they've done, if they've committed adultery, or if they've committed fornication before they were married, or if they've read the horoscopes, and we go kind of through all that, and they either say yes or no, and hopefully they are honest, and if they are honest, God's going to hear them, and God's going to deliver them. So we got onto these generational curses, and this other preacher, he wanted to be delivered. He said, I've never had that prayed for him. I've never been prayed for about that, going back 10 generations and so on. And so we really had a wonderful deliverance service. And the next morning, they wanted to get some books, so I felt obligated to give them books since they were missionaries, and I gave them a lot. Well, they kept fooling around in the bookstore, and they finally came out with scads of books, stacks of books. And they said they wanted to buy these. And I gave the one pastor that had gotten this man out of jail to bring him up here. I gave the other pastor this deliverance manual. And anybody that hasn't had that deliverance manual, it's a very excellent manual. You can start your own workshop in your own living room by studying that manual, going through page by page and having getting delivered. So I gave him, and this other man comes out, and he gets a deliverance manual. He said, I'm going to buy this. I want to pay for this. He said, he'll never let me see that. He'll be looking at it at his own church, and we don't live right. They live in the same town, but he said, he'll never let me see that. I want one of my own. And when they got done, and after I gave them the discount, they bought over $300 worth of books. Well, he called me.
You gave him $100 for the books we sold.
Well, that's extra. Yeah. And so, yes, the day before yesterday, I think it was, he called me. And he said, do you care if I copy some of those little books on incest and curses and deliverance and so on? And I said, no, I don't care. He said, you know, I'm coming up to the States again, and I want to have time. I've got to order some of these. But, oh, this is the funny thing he said. He said, I went home, and I told my wife all about this, and she said, I want that, too. I want deliverance, too. So he says, this is what it was. I thought was cute. You know, if you can just become like a simple little child, you could get more help than if you're so highly educated and know so much. He said, I got a pencil and paper just like you did. And I asked my wife, did you ever have sexual relations before we got married, and did you ever play with the Ouija board? And he said, I wrote everything down, and when I got through questioning her, he said, we had quite a list. And he said, I started coming against all these spirits, and they began to scream and come out of her. And he said, she got so excited that the next day she called up her best friend at our church, and she told her to come over here. I want to pray for you. You need deliverance. And so he says, my wife has a pencil and a pad, and she questioned this woman, and she got her delivered. They are natives. His wife got on the phone and talked to me in their native dialect, and he kind of interpreted for just a minute. She said, oh, this is wonderful. So he said, I can't come up to the States and bring my books, because they all want a book of their own. So he said, everyone that's gotten delivered, they want a book so they can, I guess, start their own deliverance. You know, Brother Pittman, that could start a real whirlwind of those whole islands, and they're begging Glenn and I to come down there. Well, I'm not too keen to ever leave the United States. I'm not a good missionary. I feel Arkansas is enough of a mission for me. When I came here from California, I thought I was coming to a mission field, and I was. So I said, well, how long would we have to stay if we came? He said, oh, at least 2 weeks. We got to take you over in Colombia. He said, those churches over there, they need deliverance. Those preachers need deliverance over in Colombia. He said, we got a lot of churches that we attend to, this one man. So I don't know. You may hear it about us going to the island of Carousel. The Lord will have to work me over, drag me down there, and I'll get all excited probably when I get there. But anyway, this woman has called almost every woman up in the church and brought her over to her house and had her list and her pencil and paper. And I said, Lord, that's so wonderful. That makes it all worthwhile. It really does. It makes it all worthwhile. And then we had another case here Thanksgiving, and it was a case like we had never faced before. Now, we have faced insanity. We have faced, and by the way, all the divination spirits is what brings on insanity. If you have people in your family that's had insane or mental problems, mind control spirits, that is coming through the fortune teller and through divination and through rebellion against God's word. So they brought this girl from back east. They had to fly here, rent a car from Little Rock and drive over here. A nice young couple in their 30s with three children who they didn't bring the children, but they had heard about us through the man's sister's husband that had some way heard about us from way in Maryland. And so they brought this girl and they took her out of the hospital. Now she was one, where is it, over in Timothy where Satan can come and take you at will? That's when you're really bad off. Well, he could come and take her at will anytime he pleased. And she'd wake up finding herself in a motel miles away from her home with a man she'd never seen before, didn't know how she got there. And she called them blackouts. Her pastor called them mood swings. And they asked once, do you think this is demons? He said, oh no. No, she's a Christian. She has the Holy Spirit. God help these pastors. That tell people that there's no such thing as evil spirits in a Christian. God help them. They're all over the place, pastors that are telling people that, and people don't know what to think. And they don't want to go against their pastor. And everybody needs a pastor, I think. You need somebody that you can go to. Even if somebody dies, you need a pastor. Preach a funeral.
The word says you're not supposed to forsake.
The gathering of yourselves together. That's right. A lot of people think they don't need the Bible anymore, and they don't need a pastor anymore. They're a law unto themselves. They're mavericks, and they're going to get into trouble, I'll tell you. We've seen many cases like that.
They just got plain rebellion.
Yeah, it's rebellion against authority. A lot of people have so much rebellion against any authority. Don't tell me what to do. I know what to do, and I don't want anybody telling me what to do. That's witchcraft, and that's all the way witchcraft. That's bad witchcraft. Well, this girl, anyway, they had put her in the hospital. She'd been to Oral Roberts for 2 weeks in the hospital, and the psychologist and psychiatrist were doctoring her and trying to help her. And she needed help. Oh my, did she ever need help? She had, I think, 7 or 8 personalities that they knew about. And she would be different people, different days, and maybe she might be the same person for 2 weeks. And sometimes, if it was this one particular person, she had to have contact lens. Another one of the demons had to have, another one of these mood swings, personalities, they had to have glasses. Another one would only drive a Volkswagen stick shift. And some of the other personalities, you talk about demons, that's the worst case we'd ever seen. And one of them had to have the automatic, so you didn't have to change gears with the clutch and all that. And one of them was really mean. So after Brother Moody and Sister Moody and I and Brother Wally Odom said, I'd like to sit in on it, and I don't want to say anything, or I don't want to do anything. I just want to watch and see what you all do, because I know this is quite a case. And they had called and talked to me, well, about 3 times, 3 nights, over an hour. And this husband was trying to get some semblance, and even the pastor's wife called the day they came to see what kind of an outfit we were over here. And when I told them that my parents, and I was raised in the Assemblies of God Church, well, that sort of cooled her.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.